First on BBC Radio 4, Lyrical Journey, the series which explores the relationship between songs and the places which inspired them. In this programme, the presenter, Jonathan Maitland, asks why Deacon Blue's Rain Town from 1987 has been taken to the hearts of so many Glaswegians, and whether the city's wet climate has been depicted affectionately by other writers and artists. Jonathan also invites Ricky Ross, the band's lyricist and singer, to perform a special version of the song in the city centre.
I think I was about 10, and my mum had got us a black and white telly from our neighbour, and she put on Top of the Pops.
29, Deacon Blue and Real Gone Kid.
And unlike the usual Top of the Pops, in which I would see Madonna or Michael Jackson or pop stars, perhaps even Stockaken and Waterman, there were a band who seemed a lot more striking and whose voices sounded slightly more familiar to me. Afterwards, the presenter said that they were called Deacon Blue and they were from Glasgow. As I was, you know, 10 or 11, went seeking everything I could about Deacon Blue and came across their debut album, Rain Town. They were singing songs about places I had heard of, and they were singing about weather. That was weather I could refer to and I could understand. And so I guess I developed a sense of real kind of pride in that band.
It's a rain dirt town, job hurts, but it don't pay.
So Rain Town, the song, and the album from which it came, which was also called Rain Town, I came to have a much closer relationship with that song and with that album than with other music.
Waiting for my phone to ring to make me all I am. Sure in the suburbs, waiting for somewhere to go. I'm down here working on some dumb show.
And so it came to represent sky above me, it came to represent home, it came to represent love and work, and these are things that have carried with me through my life.
That was Nicola Meehan, who's now a music journalist. There aren't many songs that can claim to have altered the course of someone's life, but in the case of Rain Town, and Nicola, that's just what happened, as we shall see. When she and more than a million others bought Deacon Blue's first album in 1987, it stayed in the charts for a year and a half, and the title track became something of a Glasgow anthem. A tad surprisingly, perhaps, for a song which will forever link the city with filthy weather. I met the band's singer and lyricist Ricky Ross by Kelvin Grove Park to find out why the song is so loved.
Now, you're not a Glaswegian, are you? So you wrote this song as an outsider.
I was definitely an outsider. I hadn't been here that long, I don't think, and it shocked me. It took a while to get used to the fact that the climate was different in Glasgow. Dundee's dry and, I want to say balmy and warm, but it's not. It's kind of cold and dry. It's East Coast, and Glasgow's West Coast. And it does rain a lot. And I was getting up in the morning. I was walking half a mile down to the tube station and then a little bit off the other end, and I'm getting soaked every day. I think, wait a minute, I used to do this kind of thing back in Dundee. Why is it different? It took me a while to realise it's just different. It's just much rainier.
And what is the rain in that song supposed to evoke beyond just the kind of literal thing of
yeah
of
well it's very negative at the start. I mean, the first line is a rain dirt town job hurts, you know, and I just wanted these single syllable statements to hurts but don't be, you know. And I think the rain was this, just, you know, it was like a last straw for a lot of people. It was, yeah, you know, it's, we're doing this and we're finished then and we have to start then and we have to get the bus here and we have to do this, and on top of that, it's raining.
An affectionate take or a frustrating take? Because in the song, it sounds like a bit of both to me.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a real dilemma. I think now, looking back on it, people see it as affection. At the time, I remember meeting Graham, the guitarist, who became the guitarist in Deacon Blue, and I said, what have you been up to the last few years? He said, oh, well, you know, mainly trying to get out of this place. Mm. And I thought, yeah, I suppose that's it, isn't it? That's, you know, We like it and we're proud of it, and don't come and start telling us about it, but yeah, we want to get out.
And yet, It got an enormous audience. I mean, the album sold a million, and, and there are clips of you singing it in YouTube to thousands, tens of thousands of Glaswegians who are revelling in it. They are celebrating the city as as a rain town.
Yeah.
Which is an extraordinary transformation, isn't it?
Yeah, it was an interesting time, that, because I think that's right. I think that, you know, Glaswegians, they're very typical of any, you know, major conurbation, you know. They'll be very critical of their own city to themselves, but it's a bit like family, you know, but sort of fiercely proud of it to outside eyes and outside ears. And I think what it was, and I always remember reading a story that, I mean, there was two reactions when Sean O'Casey first put his plays on in Dublin. You know, one was that people laughed at themselves seeing them on stage, and loved that. And the other was they rioted because they didn't like what you were saying about them. But I think, fortunately, I seem to have tapped into the former, that people did like their own selves, their own city, their own story being told. And I think for many years, and growing up, and I'm old enough to know this, that growing up, for me, pop music was something that came from another planet. You know, it came from the planet that brought us Elvis and that brought us, you know, Bob Dylan, but it wasn't our place.
You'd have thought Glaswegians might have got a little bored of their city's association with the damp. After all, if you Google the words Glasgow and Drich, you get more than 38,000 results. Indeed, Glasgow's name owes something to the damp, as it means, literally, dear green place. But, says Donny O'Rourke, poet, songwriter and teacher, references in the arts to the wet weather here are rarer than one might think.
In Scotland, there haven't been so many poems or songs or books about rain. In Robert Burns's poetry, it doesn't rain all that often. And in the work of songwriters, raindrops aren't falling on people's heads in Scotland as often as one might expect. I grew up being rained on, of course, but not worrying about it much. Rain for me came from someone else. It was the kind of rain that fell in American films, film noir rain. Those romantic, glamorous, glossy pavements of Los Angeles. The way that the water would come rushing off the brim of a trilby. The trench coat, an archetypally romantic garment, is of course designed to keep the rain out. One of the catchiest songs about rain is called It Never Rains in Southern California. And in a sense, it never rains in Glasgow. It never rains in the west of Scotland. Rain does rain. It rules in a sense because it's omnipresent. But Glaswegians, for that very reason, don't pay much attention to it. It would be an existential affront for a Glaswegian to use an umbrella.
Seems it never rains in Southern California. Seems I've often heard that kind of talk before.
One umbrella that has been used a lot here, however, isn't actually an umbrella at all. Helaman's Umbrella is the nickname for the bridge under Glasgow Central Station, where thousands of people from the countryside, Helanmen or Highlanders, used to meet and shelter when they came here looking for work. I went to see this landmark and soon realised that Donny had a point about the relationship that born and bred Glaswegians have with their brollies.
Do you know what that big structure up there in front of us is? The glass wall bridge. Do you know what it's called?
The Highlandman's Umbrella.
Correct. Do you know why it's called that?
Yes, because the Highlandmen, all the Highlandmen used to congregate under there when they come down from the Isles and the Highlands. And that's where they used to meet. And that's when it was christened the Highlandman's Umbrella.
Correct, correct. And it kept them out of the rain, hence the name, Umbrella.
Correct.
And it must have been quite a scene, eh? 200 years ago with all these...
Well, I'm 62, so I can go back to the late 50s, and they were still congregating under it then.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you carry an umbrella? Are you carrying one now?
No, I don't.
Do you carry one?
No, never.
Why not? Why don't Glaswegians carry umbrellas?
Well, I think it's poofy. I don't wear a coat either, and I never carry an umbrella, so I get wet quite a lot.
Having said that, we are standing under an umbrella outside a tea shop.
No, this is a pump. No, no. That's not an umbrella, that's a sunshade, isn't it?
Ah. When is a sunshade not an umbrella?
Oh, look at the size of it. You can walk about the street like that.
Your average Glaswegian then might have a slightly defensive attitude to the rain, but artists, one imagines, would have no problem acknowledging and even rejoicing in it. I met Jean Walsh, senior curator at Kelvin Grove Museum and Art Gallery, to see what I assumed would be myriad pictures of the city, fresh and gleaming after a downpour or in the middle of a drizzle.
Well, I can't think of any picture that shows rainy Glasgow that we have in the collection. That doesn't mean they don't exist, but as far as we're concerned, in Glasgow museums, can't think of anyone at all.
You haven't got a single one here?
Not one.
But that's extraordinary. I mean, why not?
Well, I think we're certainly earlier depictions of the city done maybe in the early 19th century. The artist's aim was to show the fantastic buildings, the architecture, which Glasgow's famous for. So they wouldn't want to show it in the rain. This particular picture probably dates from about 1770 to 1780. So that's quite an early depiction of the city. And as you can see, quite, you know, almost about two-thirds of the picture is vast open sky. So we're seeing the city under kind of a nice light, where the artist can depict in detail the buildings and the tiny, tiny people that are in this wide expanse of street.
Very, very dry.
Very, very dry. No, not a spot of rain.
It's nicely bucolic, but one wonders if artists are there to reflect their community, why didn't any of them paint pictures of rainy Glasgow? I mean, it's a bit dishonest, isn't it? Or were they in denial?
I think, like any artist at that particular time, they would want to show the city at its best. I think later on, artists, I'm thinking mainly now, much later on in the 20th century, artists like Peter Howson or Ken Curry moved away from painting cityscapes to painting the people, but they painted the poorer side of the city, like they would paint dossers or street people, and whereas at this particular point in history, we're all about showing how wonderful a city Glasgow is to live in. Torrential rain would make it difficult for you to see anything in the picture, so something like snow is a much better weather condition. I mean, even for artists like the Glasgow Boys working in the 1880s and 1890s, who did a lot of painting out of doors, they tended not to paint the city, they tended to go out into kind of like small rural places. But again, most of these pictures by the Glasgow Boys, which show sleepy villages, the landscapes are almost all in the sunshine.
There is, however, rainy art with a sense of humour here, to be found a short walk from the Kelvin Grove at the University Library. There, Dr. Alex Benchimol, a lecturer in English literature and cultural history, showed me a beautifully drawn coloured cartoon of the city by an illustrator called William Heath.
This is the mid-1820s, and you have very fashionable Glaswegians. You have a couple walking in one direction. You have a mother and a son in the middle, and then you have another couple walking in the other direction, and you have quite a lot of rain. But what I'm struck by is the color and the vibrancy of the clothing, and I think this is something that probably would have struck Heath as a Londoner coming up to Scotland, observing. I suppose he had the same expectations that a lot of Londoners do when they come to Glasgow, that it's going to be quite a dark place and full of perpetual rain. But I think he must have been struck by the colours and the real sort of cutting-edge nature of the fashions.
Yeah, it's striking because they're very bourgeois, the people. Absolutely. And there's a couple of posh ladies, and there's a lot of fur, and the chaps have got top hats. They look very well-bred. The poem's called Awful Weather. What's he trying to say with this image? I mean, it's lovely to look at, but what's the idea behind it? I mean, who's he taking the mickey out of?
The satire is kind of double-edged. Yes, they're poking fun at the pretensions of metropolitan life, but the fact that you're actually being targeted by a prominent cartoonist means you've actually made it, in a way. And I think it displays that Glasgow is a city very much of the present. It's a sprawling Western metropolis, very unlike the city, its big rival to the east, Edinburgh, which at this time had been presented by people like Walter Scott in 1822 on George IV's famous visit, where he was kitted out in a kilt, as a city of the past, as a romantic city, as a picturesque city. I think this displays Glasgow as a city very much of the present. And yes, I do think Heath is slightly poking fun at the pretensions of Glaswegians. He did have to eventually leave Glasgow, because I think the Glaswegians' famous sense of humour was probably stretched to breaking point.
But another English artist, John Atkinson Grimshaw, found a way of depicting rain here that delighted the great and the good of the city. He found acclaim when he painted Glasgow at the height of the Industrial Revolution and at the height of its economic power. Jane Sellers is the curator at the Mercer Gallery in Harrogate and author of a book on the artist.
I'm looking here at a painting by Atkinson Grimshaw called Glasgow Docks by Moonlight, which he painted in 1887. And it is a favourite composition of his. You have to one side, there are the masts of the ship in the dock and the road running between the dock side and the sort of brightly lit shops on the other side. Out of this misty, rain-swept sort of semi-darkness, you see these sort of rather ghostly figures walking along the street, and they're casting long shadows in the lamplight. And there's a carriage coming along the road. So there is a sense of people's lives going on. It gives a real sense of the city, but it is highly romanticised. And I think that is what he was doing in, you know, creating an appeal for those people, you know, his potential Glasgow patrons. And the essential sense of this place, this city of Glasgow with all its sort of dockside activity and so on, is that Grimshaw has chosen to depict it by moonlight and also with the rain on the street. So you have this marvellous sort of glossy reflection. And so everything has had this kind of rather lovely poetic veneer drawn across it, which takes the edge off the brutality of this new industrial world.
Rain seems to have been a late 19th century version of Photoshop, making the rough edges of the working city smooth for the pleasure of the wealthy. But it was also a sign of cultural confidence. Who minds the rain, Grimshaw seemed to be saying, when you're living in one of the finest and richest cities in Europe? So what about the modern take on rain in the city? Is it confident and at ease? Well, if contemporary fiction's anything to go by, then yes. Novelist Denise Minor describes her Garnet Hill trilogy as a love letter to the city and one which embraces the possibilities of rain.
The cold rain nibbled Maureen's legs numb as they rode to the northern outskirts of the city, to the Drum, the scheme where Leslie lived. As they hit the lip of the hill overlooking the scheme, a sudden burst of sunshine from the west lit the rain as it fell. In the deep valley below, the high-rise blocks stood like giants paddling in a shallow sea of bungalows.
OK, Denise, we're actually in Garnet Hill now. We're on the corner of Garnet Hill Street and Hill Street. Of course, it's a lovely sunny day. Sod's law. I have to ask you about the rain, because it's really a part of your writing, isn't it?
It really is a character in the writing, and it's a way of expressing the presence of the city even when it's not there, especially in the Garnet Hill novels. And if you're up here during sheet rain, which is amazing that we're not because it's very rarely this sunny, it really shows you the geography of the area because it runs in rivers down these hills. And actually, standing at this point, it runs in every direction. That's what's amazing about this corner.
So, I mean, as a writer, it must be very difficult to depict this place without rain coming into it at some stage in some way.
I think it's unrealistic to represent Glasgow without the rain, and the rain is often a comment on what's happening in the books. Glasgow does feel like a really dramatic place because of the weather conditions, and even the fact that when you walk up a hill suddenly the wind will hit you. Just the geography of the place really affects the way that the rain operates and the way people behave in it.
But you are, a Glaswegian would say, you're an outsider because you weren't born and bred here. Do you think you notice it and you're affected and inspired by the rain and the weather more because you're an outsider?
I think it really takes an outsider's eye to come back to the city and see what is beautiful about it, because I came back in 86 and Glaswegians were quite ashamed of their city and quite sniggery, and it was a real shock for Glaswegians to discover that Glasgow was well regarded abroad. During the City of Culture, people were kind of embarrassed about it, as if we've got anything to offer, and the rain is very much like that. The rain is very much, how can rain be beautiful? We have rain, and actually it is incredibly beautiful. any pride about Glasgow was very defiant and very chippy in the 80s. It really was the first city in Europe to regenerate through the arts. And actually the pride became ingrained, and outsiders coming here and looking at the city, I think particularly the city of culture, and Glaswegians being lauded abroad. There's a saying in Scotland, you're rubbish till you've made it abroad, and then people will welcome you back. And a lot of people made it abroad, and Deacon Blue are some of the people who made it abroad. And then slowly people began to represent the city as it actually was instead of as it should have been.
Was that a tipping point, do you think, when Raintown came out?
I think Raintown coming out was at that cusp of people being proud about what the city was actually like. And yet it also speaks about people going away and coming back to a rubbish place, because in the 80s, if you wanted to make it, you had to go away from Glasgow. And what happened in the 90s was people started staying. The city became more wealthy, there were more good houses, new houses, people started making films here, everybody joined bands, and people just didn't leave in the same way that they used to.
Glasgow got its City of Culture status in 1990, but it wasn't just that that changed its sense of itself. In 1988, a year after the release of Raintown, Jim Sillars won the Govan by-election for the Scottish National Party, which it said reignited the debate over Scottish independence.
There is no question about it that we will now be able to attack Mrs. Thatcher's grip on Scotland much more effectively.
What was Glasgow like back then? Was it at a kind of cultural tipping point? Because you wrote, you know, Town to be Blamed at the same time.
Mm.
What was happening?
I think, you know, given the 80s was like this time in a sense that it was a terrible recession. People were being thrown out of work right and left and centre. And I think everyone just kept thinking, oh, no, it's going to go back. You know, we were a big industrial power. We made, you know, we made all the boats that sail around the world, and that's going to come back. And I think people didn't quite realise, no, the world's going to change. It's going to go in a different direction.
And there's a sense of that in Raintown, isn't there? Mm,
that's true. Maybe it's defiance, you know. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's just standing up against it and kind of just holding your own. And Glasgow's always been pretty good at that, you know, just saying, well, just hold on there, you know, we'll survive.
Perhaps the rain in Raintown then is defiant rain, the survivor rain of a city on the brink of a new era of self-belief. And that's why it's an anthem. But for music journalist Nicola Meehan, it was even more than that.
Rain in popular music is a metaphor for lots of things. It's been a metaphor for tears, for bombs, for blood. But I think with Deacon Blue, it was something quite different. I think with Deacon Blue, rain represented the everyday and the everyman, which was something that they really celebrated in their songs. In Raintown itself, it's the song Raintown is conveyed by the kind of piano drops. It sounds like this cascading piano. And although it sings of a quite gloomy post-urban, post-industrial landscape, there's also a sense of a kind of a gathering storm in it. And I think there's a sense of change happening or change going to happen. I'd been living in London for about 6 or 7 years when I heard Raintown coming on in a cab completely unexpectedly. I hadn't listened to Deacon Blue for years, and so the impact of the song hit home a lot harder than it had done. And everything that that song represented to me, those things being my home, the ones I loved, and just the familiarity of Scottish skies, were suddenly, you know, unavoidable. And I realised that I desperately missed them. I moved back to Scotland.
OK, Ricky, here we are with a small select audience in the Baby Grand Piano Bar, which is in the heart of the city, but also just yards from the M8 motorway, which cuts through the city. And you're about to perform Raintown for us. What's it like doing the song, which was written about Glasgow in the late 80s, now, 2011?
Well, it's interesting because I haven't sat in this piano still for about, you know, certainly 25 years or something like that. Because when this place first opened, I knew Billy that ran the place. And, you know, one night got in to come and play some songs, and I thought it must be, you know, it'd be great to kind of do a little gig and play some songs. But it's kind of interesting coming back. It's a smaller space than I remembered as well.
Yeah, and a very different city.
It's a very different city in some ways, although this part of town hasn't changed. I think it is, though. I think that's the thing about cities anyway, that they're constantly changing and evolving.
But you're ready to do
Raintown 2011 style-y now, are you?
Always ready, 5 minutes notice, yeah.
Okay, well, off you go.
Thank you.
It's a rain dirt town job, hurts, but it don't pay. All these calls you're making, being driving you insane. But don't you see, don't you understand? Waiting for my phone to ring to make me all I am. You're in the suburbs, waiting for somewhere to go. I'm down here, working on some dumb show. In a rain town, rain town, rain down. And all those tired eyes, and tears and frowns. Rain town, rain town, rain down. All those days you're not around.
Now we've got a band here, two of you, called Rain Town. What did you make of that?
Phenomenal. You know, it's almost a strange feeling sitting here listening to a song that means obviously so much to us. You know, we chose a name very much as a tip of the hat to
the great music that's came from Scotland,
yeah,
with the likes of Deacon Blue and other bands. Yeah. And we like to shout it from the rooftops about Raintown everywhere we go in the world.
Beyond just the song itself is what Raintown represents to us, which is very much an ideal of about community.
I'm down here working on some dumb show.
So Nicola, what was that like for you?
Yeah, incredible to, I guess, listen to a song up, you know, so closely that's been with me most of my life.
All those tired eyes and tears and frowns. Rain time.
When I was younger, it was very much represented home to me and stood for home. And then I guess as I got a bit older and I moved away from Scotland, it represented missing home. I heard something different in it this time, and I heard something that sounded much more like a love song.
Sitting at home, listen to your radio. Listen for some old friend talking on some dumb show. What's he saying? What's he saying? What's he saying? Rain town, rain town, rain down. On all those tired eyes and tears and frowns. Rain town, rain town, rain down. On all those days you're not around. You're not around. You're not around.
Lyrical Journey was presented by Jonathan Maitland and produced in Manchester by Faith Lawrence.